The Friday Coffee Meetup podcast is brought to you by Echo Factory, a Pasadena-based marketing and advertising agency that specializes helping healthcare, consumer goods, clean tech, and aerospace companies achieve rapid sustainable growth. Echo Factory CEO Mike Schaefer is a co-founder and organizer of Friday Coffee Meetup. If you're interested in how Echo Factory can help your company achieve rapid sustainable growth, you can learn more at echo-factory.com. Every week, the Friday Coffee Meetup brings together innovators, startups, investors, tech companies, and entrepreneurs at the cross-campus co-working space in Pasadena. You can learn more about upcoming meetups and how you can attend in person at fridaycoffeemeetup.com.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for coming out early on a Friday morning to hear me talk about, you know, myself, what I do, and a little bit about corporate venture and innovation. So I'm just going to start with who I am. You got a little bit of that from Wayne, but I have been in financial services my entire career. I went to school at NYU and got a degree in math and economics, very sort of quantitative, and applied that at Barclays Investment Bank doing structured debt, which is kind of boring. But I grew up in the Bay Area, and so there came a point where I decided, you know, I really need to get back into that innovation space and do things with people who are actually creating as opposed to financial engineering. So I went back to school at USC, and there I connected with one of the co-founders of Touchdown Ventures and got my big break in venture capital. And it's a little bit of an untraditional firm. When you think about, you know, VC, you raise money, and then you deploy that into startups. We actually work with corporations to help them launch and manage their venture capital programs. And so in my time at Touchdown, I've worked with actually three different funds that are up and running and making investments, and I'm in the process of launching another one. So I first started at Edelman, running a fund looking at marketing technologies to help them serve their clients better and to help those clients communicate with their audiences and their employees more effectively. Then I started working on our fund with 20th Century Fox. I did that for about 2 years, and there we were looking at everything related to media, everything from protecting content to, you know, connecting with fans authentically and helping them get into the worlds that they create with their intellectual property. And then most recently, this is going to be a logo that nobody really recognizes, but it's a children's hospital in Miami. And we looked at and are still looking at technologies that help kids feel better and stay healthy. So concussion prevention and treatment, for instance, or neurosciences. So how do you help a kid with ADHD or an autism spectrum disorder? Or how do you create a nutrition program for kids that is either prevents disease or helps them treat a condition that they have? So lots of fun different things. So like I said, Touchdown really helps corporations launch and manage these programs. And when I say corporate venture capital, what I mean is a corporation looking for an investment in a startup that has both a financial and a strategic objective. And I'm going to get into this a little bit more, but the corporation has more to offer to its startup portfolio than just money. And a lot of investors are really capable of being value-add investors in the institutional world. But what the corporation is able to do that an institutional investor most of the time cannot is be a customer. And so our corporations are really looking for those opportunities where they can not only provide investment capital, but also provide revenue to the companies that they work with. So before I get into corporate venture, I wanted to talk a little bit about the corporate innovation landscape as a whole. And there are a number of different tools that corporations can use to engage with smaller companies, third parties, and work with that ecosystem. So there are four different activities that corporations can use broadly to engage with the external world and to create innovation. On the bottom, you've got business development. That's an internal function. You know, you're partially committed to the operations. You're doing something where you're actually, you know, producing a product, distributing it, marketing it with that external party. But it's your team internally that is working on that. where you've got sort of full commercial commitment to operations is your research and development team. So that's the team that is figuring out, you know, what's the next big thing? How am I going to, you know, create this research? You know, think about life sciences as being the primary example of that research and development function. And at the bottom here, you really don't have commitment to the equity of an external entity, right? You're not buying up an ownership stake in some other company when you're doing business development or when you're doing R&D. When you're doing venture capital, the whole point is that you're taking a minority stake in that business. So you can do venture capital in a number of different ways. Some investors are very passive. They're not really getting involved with their portfolio companies. That may be, you know, because they don't have the resources to do so, because they're making very small investments, or because it's a philosophy of that investor. But then you can also get into this sort of partially committed to operations. You're never, well, ideally, we could talk about this in Q&A if you're interested. Ideally, you're never going to be running your portfolio companies. But that partial involvement is, you know, doing all of the things that an investor can do to help the portfolio company grow and help it with those sort of strategic questions that maybe the CEO and or the C-suite are looking for some assistance with. And then the other tool that, you know, every corporation has, or almost every corporation has, an M&A function. And that's where you're really taking all or almost all of the equity of an external company and bringing it into the fold. Some M&A is sort of partial control of operations, where you're letting the team continue to do what it did before you acquired it. And some of it is, you know, full integration, where you're trying to get those synergies between the different businesses that you're bringing together. And so this greater commitment creates more risk for the organization. So when you're looking at, you know, M&A or research and development, it's extremely risky because you don't really know what the outcome is going to be, and you're committing a lot of money to it, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in, you know, paying your PhDs to research something or to acquire a business. And so and then when you're kind of not doing anything, you're not assuming any risk. And in the middle, and why Touchdown exists, is there's this risky but not crazy risky mid sweet spot where you're committing capital, you're not taking full ownership, you're not trying to run these businesses by yourself. You've got partners in the startup team, and you've got partners in, you know, your syndicate of co-investors. You're not putting up all of the money typically when you're making those investments. So this is the myth that I was talking about earlier, that corporations have to choose between being, you know, financially savvy investors and making investments that are strategic to their business. And our belief at Touchdown is that really you have to do both. And that they are actually not in conflict with each other. So the financial return objective is table stakes in venture capital. No institutional investor that I want to go co-invest with, you know, the traditional VCs, are going to say, like, oh, it's okay if you go make an investment that doesn't have the potential to make any money. That is the only way that an institutional fund is going to survive. And so I need to be able to say, look, yes, it's important to me that the companies that I invest in are strategically relevant to what I'm doing at the corporation, but it's not strategic to lose money. It's not strategic for me to invest in a business that doesn't actually have good financial characteristics. And then on the other side, there's no point in a corporation being a purely financial investor. We can argue about that point a little bit, but because of these additional resources that corporations have, they have sort of a give and take with a portfolio company where they can both provide assistance in a variety of different ways that I'll talk about later. Excuse me. But are also looking to learn something. They're looking to learn about trends in the ecosystem. They're looking to learn about new technologies and how those apply, or new business models. And so the real power of corporate investing is in the intersection between the two. And you know, one of the examples that I like to give is we were working on due diligence for an investment in a company with Fox. And the question that we got from the operating team was, well, will this company still be around at the end of our pilot program? And that's where I really realized the power of the venture capital process, because a normal business development conversation, you're probably not going to be able to get revenue numbers or margins or, you know, the cost structure or pipeline product roadmap for that startup. But when you're also talking about an investment, that's just part of the conversation that you have as an investor. And so we were able to say, look, this company is financially stable enough to deliver on this pilot for you. And, you know, it's not going to disappear as you're working together. The other reason we're really excited about corporate venture as a concept is it organizes all of these other functions that I talked about. And it provides both intelligence and also supercharges a lot of those activities. Startups are always looking for funding. You know, it's one of those things that founders are kind of always in the process of doing at the earlier stages. And so there's a never-ending stream of interactions that you can have with innovators if you're in a corporate venture function. And sometimes those things are not right for venture investment, but they could be right for business development. They could be right for the M&A team. We've had a number of instances where we've identified a company and it was actually so strategic or at a point in terms of maturity where it just made more sense for our corporate partner to acquire that business. And then finally, a lot of this intelligence that you get when you meet with hundreds of companies every year is where the market is going. And that can help inform corporate strategy. And so CVC, corporate venture capital, is this tool that can feed into the other innovation functions within a corporation. I always like to show this slide because I like to show how corporates fit into the ecosystem, and I also really like that Elmo has a venture fund. So you've got the angel part of the ecosystem, which is individuals, high net worth, or crowdfunding, equity crowdfunding, which is an emerging part of the market, typically more at the beginning of a company's life. You've got your institutional VCs. Those are the people who go out and raise a fund and manage it over the course of typically 10 years. And then you have the corporate investors that are, you know, investing directly in startups. And for any founders in the room, I show this because there's no sort of one right investor for every single startup. And there are a lot of different options for raising capital. And the reason that you would raise money from a strategic investor is as much what you can get from them as what they're trying to learn from you. And so just sort of keep that in mind. Now I'm going to transition a little bit to what we do at Touchdown. We split our services into two categories. One is the strategy phase, and the second is the deal execution and operations phase. Strategy is really, really important in a corporate venture program, and it's important in any investment program, but particularly because you have an organization that's not well-versed in venture investing. And so we need to start out by figuring out what exactly it is we're doing, why we're trying to do it, what are our goals, how are we going to measure ourselves and justify our existence to senior management, and how do we get the rest of the organization on board? And then there's the nitty-gritty of infrastructure at the end. So when we're setting up the strategy, we're thinking about what sectors are we investing in? What are the things that are important for us to learn about and to engage with, partner with? So that could be for Fox, you know, technologies that help us connect with fans. It can be sort of as conceptual as a business problem, or it can be as specific as, you know, artificial intelligence for us to scan the internet to find pirated copies of our movies. And we're figuring out what stage we're investing in. Typically, we don't invest in the seed stage because it's very difficult for a seed stage team to engage with a corporation and not get crushed by the bureaucracy that is, you know, inherent in being a big company. But we tend to be pretty stage agnostic because when you're that specific about what business problem or technology you're looking at, you're just going to have a smaller pool of companies to choose from. And to make the best investments, you need sort of critical mass of opportunities. And then finally, we're looking at what geographies are important. So we worked with a defense contractor at one point where it was really important that we did not make any investments in China or co-invest with anybody who was a Chinese investor. And so those kinds of considerations in terms of the legal or reputational risks for the corporation are things that you have to think about when setting up the strategy of a fund. And again, always coming back to the goals. What is it that we are trying to accomplish as a program? From there, we go to the portfolio model, the kind of thing that every investor needs. How much are you investing in every company? How much money are we reserving for follow-on investment after the first investment? You're probably not only going to invest once, and that is a foreign concept to a lot of corporations that, you know, the startup is going to come back and ask you for more money, and it actually signals things to the market if you don't follow on. And then this is actually the most interesting part for me, this alignment piece. We do what we call needs assessments or executive interviews with people across the organization. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit more later, but basically what we're trying to do is figure out, what does the organization care about? You know, it's all well and good for us to sit with a strategy team and say, like, these are the things that are important to the future of the company. But there are a bunch of other people out there who are, you know, in the trenches engaging with the challenges of the business. We need to know what's important to them as well. And then on the execution side, we're working hand in hand with typically strategy or business development professionals who have another day job. So it is not their primary responsibility to, you know, go out and source and evaluate and make investments and manage the portfolio. That's not their core competency. They're business development professionals or their strategy professionals. And our role is to bring the venture capital expertise to that team. And so we're identifying interesting companies that fit the strategy that we set. We are evaluating them for the financial viability of their business. We're negotiating and closing those transactions. We have, you know, familiarity with term sheets and, you know, how you get a good deal with an entrepreneur that aligns you with that person over the course of a number of years until they have built their business. And then portfolio management, you know, how do you help those companies succeed? How do you plug them into the right resources, both outside of the corporate partner and within that corporate partner? And finally, one of the most undervalued parts of venture investing is, how do you actually manage those things to exits? So how do you help a company get a great M&A offer? How do you help a company go through the IPO process? These are all things that our team is skilled at. So going back to the strategy phase, the goals piece is really important because this determines how you end up setting up your corporate venture program. And what I mean by that is there are sort of four different categories of corporate investing. One, on the upper left, is the ad hoc piece. So you're making investments kind of when something is opportunistically interesting. You're not really committed to a full-on program. You're not committed to building a portfolio. You're just identifying things that are, like, really strategic and worth an investment. On the upper right is kind of where we sit, which is that entity, or at least committed kind of named program, where you are doing something systematically with structure that is helping you achieve particular goals in your business. On the lower half of this chart, these are more of the, like, limited partner type of investors, where the goal is to learn about a space, to connect with smart investors, to sort of piggyback off of their expertise in engaging with the startup ecosystem. I'm not going to go through this in detail, but feel free to follow up with me later. These are the things that we think about in venture strategy. So there is the sector, stage, and geography that I talked about, but then also you know, how much you're going to keep in reserves. How are you structuring your investment committee? The investment committee is particularly important because this is where corporations often get tripped up in playing nice with the ecosystem. Corporations are notorious for moving slowly and not operating at the pace of startups. And we have a seat on the investment committee, so we can kind of help those things move along. But also, we make sure that there's one body that can approve the investment. If you sort of think about the typical corporate bureaucracy, you've got committee after committee after committee that, you know, approves things. And we need to change the culture around this particular decision-making process that says, let's get straight to the person who can say, yes, we're going to write that check and wire money. And then the very last piece of strategy that we look at that a lot of funds don't need to is what we call the operating relationship. And so who is it within the organization that is actually going to own sort of the additional relationship with the startup? So is it somebody who is going to co-develop a product with them? Are we connecting them with someone in R&D? Or are we connecting them with someone on the marketing team to help them with their marketing program, for instance, which is something that we did a lot at Edelman. And we want to go into the program knowing what those types of relationships are going to be so that we don't promise things that we can't deliver. And that's another thing that's really, really key. So this is the needs assessment part that I talked about. So startups with strategic value, that's really easy for the working team or sort of the people who are in the strategy or business development group in the corporation to answer. That's what they think about all day, every day. Good financial investments, that's what we do all day, every day. We understand how to identify a good financial investment. But the bottom part is the part that's really critical to making corporate venture work. And that is startups that the team will support. And without a sponsor within a business unit, that relationship gets lost. And often the startup will get really frustrated about not getting the full value out of the strategic relationship. And so we go through this process of engaging across the organization to learn about what those people actually care about. And it helps us adjust the strategy on an ongoing basis because those business problems change over time. I am going to skip ahead and just talk about sort of commercial options for engaging with startups that we often facilitate. So by licensing, we mean both in-licensing of technology from startups and out-licensing of technology from the corporation to the startup. You know, sometimes there are things that the corporation has or is expert in that they're able to license out to the startup that can help them sort of supercharge their growth. Supply chain is another really important one. We work with Kellogg's on their fund, and they are experts in sort of the food supply chain. And so bringing that expertise to the food brands that Kellogg's has invested in. Distribution, similar thing. In film and television, that was actually a big value add, is plugging in some of these media startups into the distribution networks that Fox had. Marketing is very similar. And then finally, sort of the most impactful one in a lot of cases is just becoming a customer. One of our co-founders was at Comcast Ventures and actually helped found that team. And most of his portfolio companies, Comcast, ended up on the sort of the top 10 list of customers. So that was really sort of a really important contributor to that business. So with that, I will open it up for questions. Thank you so much.
Yep. Thank you, Selena. We're going to pass off the microphone to John here. Does everybody know the rules for questions for us? It's a very short sentence with a question at the end. Not time for stories, not time for your experiences. But Selena, will you stick around after for people to catch up? So that's a great time for your stories and following up with Selena. All right, John, go ahead.
Good morning, Selena.
Good morning.
Can you tell me, what is Touchdown's business model? Are you essentially a consulting firm, or do you get kind of, you're part of the GP of some of these firms. Can you explain how that works?
Yeah, absolutely. So for the most part, the funds that we run aren't set up as funds the way that an institutional fund would be. So there isn't really a GP, but we model our compensation similar to venture funds. So there is a kind of annual fee that is kind of equivalent to a consulting fee. And then we do have upside in the investments that we work on. So it's called something different because you don't have sort of the carried interest concept that you would with a limited partnership entity. But it is similar in that we need to create profits big enough to pay back all of the money that they've spent on fees for us before we get any profit share.
Hello. Thank you for the excellent presentation. So corporates have this stigma of being a startup killer after they took them in. Like Yahoo is a great example, right? So
yep.
So over time, is there a strategy that have evolved that really preserve the startup, I guess it's a upscale power while after the MA arrangement, yeah.
So I think a lot of it is making sure that expectations are set up front on both sides. So the corporation needs to know, like, your normal contracting process is not going to work here because these people don't have the resources or the time or the money really to pay the lawyers to deal with that. On the other side, the startup needs to be aware of exactly kind of what they're getting from the relationship and, you know, set themselves up to be sort of professional enough and self-aware enough to know that they're ready or not ready to, you know, engage in that kind of relationship. And so for us, we see ourselves as the bridge between the two and making sure that, you know, any communication issues are dealt with and that we kind of rein in the corporate desire to control, because that's the model that they're familiar with is, you know, we control the things that we put money into, and that is kind of an ongoing education process. And so one of the ways that we address that is starting out programs a little bit later in terms of the stage. So instead of investing in a company at Series A, where they're still figuring things out and, you know, developing the business model and testing in the market, we might go sort of Series C, where the company's a little bit more mature and resembles an organization that corporation is more familiar with. And so they're a little bit more comfortable with sort of the stability and the progress that team has made.
Yes. I've learned that to obtain a new, valuable, logical idea, information, is extremely difficult to do. Throughout the world and throughout history, these ideas come out to during that time by one individual. It could be worth multi-million dollars, or it could be worth hundreds of million dollars, or it could be worth billions of dollars or more. Do you treat, if that kind of information came to you, how would you treat that type of information instead of how would you?
So what I think you're getting at is sort of the tension between the entrepreneur and what they might see as potentially a competitor in the corporation. And that's something that, you know, the entrepreneur has a responsibility for, you know, figuring out who they engage with and who, you know, who they're sharing kind of those secret sauce pieces with. You know, for us, we don't want to make an investment in something where the corporation is committed already to building it themselves. That's reputationally really bad. And so part of our process up front is actually talking to the R&D team and the folks that are responsible for building internally. You know, what is it that you absolutely feel that you need to build yourselves, and where are you comfortable partnering externally to, you know, learn some of these things and develop them with external parties. And so we don't want to be in a position where, you know, we end up with sort of like this holy grail of an idea that belongs, you know, to someone who's building a business around it, and, you know, the corporation ends up, you know, sort of building off of that themselves.
Over here, Selena. So I'm not sure if you know David Horowitz.
He is the co-founder of our firm. Yes, I know.
Right.
Him well.
You know, I worked for a company. He actually was the investor when he was at Comcast Ventures. So as a, from the startup point of view, what's our decision to go to a corporate internal venture team versus go to you? Can you talk about the differences? Also, what's your niche market? Because there's a lot of big corporations, they do have internal venture fund.
Yeah, so we are the venture team for those. So like we would never work with a Comcast because they have an operation set up that is, you know, their own team that are, you know, very good venture investors themselves. So where we fit into the market is with those corporations that you know, don't want to hire an internal team. So, you know, we're not a good fit for a corporation that's going to spend the time and resources to find a good venture investor that can sort of lead that charge internally. Where we're really a really good fit is they know they want to make investments, they see the strategic value in it, but they don't have sort of the people even to identify the right type of talent to run that program. And honestly, we're cheaper than hiring an internal team. We have 30 people on our team that are all out, you know, looking for good opportunities and evaluating them for all of our partners. And so it's sort of a cost-benefit analysis for those programs where they're committing between, you know, typically 50 and 100 million over the course of 5 years, where it's just not worth putting in the time and effort to hire a full team themselves where they could just work with us.
Selena, appreciate your presentation. Building off the last question, I was hoping you could name a couple case studies or elaborate with corporations here in Southern California that are kind of leveraging your team and what they're getting out of it.
Yeah, so Fox before the acquisition was one, and they were looking for really the sort of the driving principle was audience engagement or audience intelligence. So the traditional model for the media industry is you've got the studios who are producing content and you've got the exhibitors or the retailers or, you know, TV stations, what have you, actually having the relationship with the fan. And so what that creates is a disconnect between sort of in the feedback loop. So the studio doesn't know who went to see Star Wars. And so every single time that a new movie in that franchise or connected to that intellectual property comes out, they have to ramp up a big effort to reach everybody as opposed to targeting the people that they know are already fans or are, you know, predisposed to purchasing a ticket. Another example is Avery Dennison, which is out in Glendale and is a material science at its roots, a material science company, but they do a lot of labeling and packaging, as well as sort of on garment printing and those kinds of things, and RFID tagging for, you know, retailers and pharmaceutical companies. And they're actually, interestingly enough, our process of interacting with the executives brought up sustainability as a core objective for the venture program. Because when you think about a label, at least half of that is waste in the moment that it is used. And so executives across the organization were thinking about, you know, like it's not the number one thing that we as operators need to be worried about because we're worried about the quality of our products and margins and those kinds of things, but it's something that it will be a big reputational risk, you know, going forward with climate change. And so the venture program has been able to go out and map out what's going on in sustainability related to Avery Dennison's business. So as opposed to like sort of market research where you're mapping an entire ecosystem, we come at it with the focus of what is it that relates to the business problems that you're trying to solve and then make recommendations about where in that ecosystem is venture investable versus where you should acquire something versus where you just shouldn't play at all because either it's not ready or it doesn't fit the problem that you're trying to solve. Yeah.
Hey, Selena. That was a really good talk so far, and I think we have another question up here. But I've got a question, and I'm glad you talked about that strategic investors because we've had a lot of we've had passing the angels here, mm-hmm. So they're more financial investors and a lot of smart money. So a lot of VCs that have come talk, and we've also, you know, mentioned strategic investors. I think you've probably given us the most complete and comprehensive explanation of what strategic investor is all about. You talked a lot about some of the pros when it comes to a strategic investor, having a strategic investor as a partner. On the con side, you also kind of talked a little bit about some of the cons. I was wondering if you can expand on that as far as, you know, exit strategy or markets, because if you have a strategic investor that doesn't want to do business with their competitor, that might limit some of the business opportunities of that startup. What else? I mean, there's, you know, some, it's not all positive when it comes to individuals or a startup or early stage company wanting to partner with a strategic partner.
Yeah, I think the exit path is an important one to think about, because what a lot of strategic investors will ask for is a right of first refusal on acquisitions, and that really does create problems when that company is looking to sell, and it creates an artificial price in the market, and you know, we really work hard to avoid that with our partners, but it is sort of this natural urge within corporations to sort of create that option for themselves without thinking about the impacts for the startup. I think some of the other pitfalls are you know, the requests for exclusivity in terms of commercial deals, again, without thinking about what they are providing in return to help that startup grow, or with its you know, its product roadmap, or whatever else is important. And then I think it's also a matter of managing expectations. I think corporations have a tendency to throw their weight around in an unproductive way. and so, you know, they believe that their sort of processes are the only way to operate, and are less willing to work with startups to find a way to create a mutually beneficial outcome. And quite frankly, that's where we try to come in and act as a translator. But that is something that a lot of corporate investors run into at the beginning, that create reputational risks.
Hi.
Hi.
I had an experience decades ago of starting a company devoted to interactive storytelling. And we found out that we were ahead of the market. There was no hardware to actually do that with. Mm-hmm. And it would have been really helpful to have a company like yours to go to a place like Mattel, which is in that game story business, and have them think about developing this technology and then see if there was a market for it. So develop a market as well as a product. Is that something that you've had any experience with?
More limited. I think we tend to be better at sharing information about where markets are in terms of sort of readiness as opposed to helping develop those markets. I think in certain cases, I could definitely see that, you know, being a collaboration that works out, particularly if it's a space that the corporation is interested in moving into. And so if they already have that activity going of sort of developing the customer base, understanding the segments, and figuring out where they want to go in it, those types of partnerships work really well. It's not something I personally have had experience doing, though.
Hey, Selena, it's Minnie.
Hello.
Hi. I believe you said, you told me that your funds are usually about $50 million, give or take. Does your website have the information about all the different funds you have and sort of what size check they tend to write? Or can you also just tell me, are they, I think you said usually coming at the Series A or B or later, are you leading rounds, not leading rounds?
Yeah, so one of the challenges is that we're running 11 different funds, and so each one of them is different in terms of check size and stage. Generally, we're writing checks between $500,000 and $10 million, which is a really big range. And the lead versus follow question is very dependent on each individual partner. Generally, we're comfortable leading, and generally, we're writing checks big enough to lead that A, B stage, but it's not universal. We have chosen to be a registered investment advisor, which limits some of the things that we can put on our website in terms of our partners and our portfolio, although we're sort of bullying our compliance team into figuring out how to do that in a compliant way. But basically, the RIA requirements mean that we can't cherry pick sort of what we show, and there are certain relationships that are confidential because of the preferences of the corporate partner, and so it creates some issues. But in private conversations, we're very excited about sharing those things.
One of the things that we've heard from a lot of VCs that spoke, and when Minnie spoke, she also said that it was true at her firm, is that VCs look at, I think, over 1,000 deals, and then they might only invest in a handful. So with the number of deals that you guys are managing, you guys are also screening all of those deals, right?
We are.
So if somebody is a startup or early-stage company or maybe getting close to that Series A funding, they should come to your firm or come to you and say, hey, I've got this company. It fits one of the VCs that you're managing. Can you see if they would be interested in investing in us?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the things that's powerful about the model is that we do manage funds for so many different industries. And so each and every one of us is familiar. We work on a specific fund, but each and every one of us is familiar with what all the funds are looking for. And so I don't work on Kellogg's, but I have conversations with food startups all the time or ingredient startups to give them some information about, you know, what we're looking for at Kellogg's, and also, you know, to screen them and pass them along to that team for sort of further evaluation and diligence if it's appropriate.
Great. Thank you, Selena. Let's give her a very warm round of applause. That was fantastic.
The Friday Coffee Meetup podcast is brought to you by Echo Factory. Learn more about how Echo Factory can help your business achieve rapid, sustainable growth at echo-factory.com. And get all the details about upcoming Friday Coffee Meetup episodes at fridaycoffeemeetup.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.